My name is Eugene Drucker, and I'm one of the violinists of the Emerson String Quartet.
And I am the other violinist, Philip Setzer. I play the other role that Gene Drucker doesn't play on every quartet.
I'm Larry Dutton. I'm the solo violist of the Emerson String Quartet.
And I'm David Finkel. I'm the cellist. Debussy, who lived into the 20th century, just up until the First World War, definitely bridged the two ages of classicism or romanticism and modernism by combining the most adventurous elements of both worlds and paved the way for modernism in music way past his years. The concept of modernism, really, you know, living in the 20th century, as opposed to the Enlightenment, where people like Sir Isaac Newton found rational explanations for natural phenomena, beginning with, say, Impressionism in painting, you have people who began to question that there was a rational explanation for everything. And Impressionism in painting, where painters painted not what they actually saw, but the light that came from what they saw. They painted light, not forms. And then you have thinkers like Sigmund Freud probing the subconscious mind and finding explanations for behavior and diseases that were hitherto, you know, unbelievable. And then you have people like Einstein pioneering, you know, revolutionary ideas in physics and talking about bending of light and time. And so all of these conventional explanations for what we thought was the real world sort of broke down in the 20th century. And with that came in music an intense exploration of the outer limits of harmonic possibility.
Composers took the music from the 19th century, the harmony and the form of the 19th century, and entering into the 20th century, you just see more and more experimentation, which is of course would be natural for them to do. One good example is in Vienna. You have what is called the New Viennese School, which was spearheaded by Arnold Schoenberg. And his two students, Alban Berg and Anton Webern. Webern took the ideas of Schoenberg, the harmonies just, they never find their way back. In the very brief scherzo movement, only about 40 seconds long, of the Webern Opus 5, the five movements for string quartet, you have a sense of the notes relating to each other, but and you have a sense of a key, but if you were to analyze this music, it's not what you would call tonal. There are rhythms. A lot happens in those 40 seconds. Other composers who are looking at the atonal music or the 12-tone music, which Schoenberg then went on to develop. In America, there was some acceptance of it, but that came later. In the early part of the century, they didn't quite come to that. And I think it's interesting with the famous Barber Adagio for strings, which is originally written as the slow movement of the Opus 11 string quartet. Barber does something else with harmony. He goes the other way. He goes back. This Barber Adagio is looking back to earlier music than Beethoven and Mozart and Haydn, even back to kind of church modes and, you know, music of the Renaissance. So he's done a very interesting thing here, and he does it so beautifully, taking this kind of Renaissance music, but making it into something that is, of course, very expressive, but also has elements of the 20th century.
It may be one of the most inspired pieces ever written.
We played this, the Barber Adagio, right after 9/11. We played a public free concert at Lincoln Center, and it was very powerful.
It's a devastating. It can be. It's just a devastating movement. It really is.